Hope you had a good afternoon. We were able to hunt some eggs at our house. Hope you were able to do that as well, or do whatever it is that you enjoy doing on Sunday afternoon. We did get to watch the Easter Parade movie today, so I was happy with that. We even found a dead bunny in our yard, so all kinds of weird things. We buried the bunny, and Miriam made a little grave marker. If you're on Facebook, I think you've seen it. So, an interesting afternoon. I hope you had a good afternoon. I recently heard someone describe the Christian life as one of maintenance. And that word started working in my mind. He was actually talking about a gospel meeting, and what he said was that there are two types of gospel meetings. There are that one type of gospel meeting that you want to be evangelistic. You know, there's one type of gospel meeting where you get the preacher to come in to preach sermons that are going to be explicitly aimed at non-Christians, and you want to go out and invite people in. Maybe you'll do some door knocking. You're going to advertise. You're going to try to get people to come in. You're going to invite people widely, especially non-Christians, and you are going to preach the gospel to them. And you want conversions out of that. That's one type of gospel meeting. And then there's another type of gospel meeting, he said, that is not really geared toward that, but it's geared toward people who are in the church who are already Christians. And that type of gospel meeting is one of maintenance. You want to maintain. When I think of maintenance, I don't know about you, I think of a car. You have scheduled maintenance on your car. And, you know, every 3,000 miles, you need to take that car in and get the oil changed. Maybe you change the oil yourself, but you need to have the oil changed. 5,000 miles, you rotate your tires. You know, there are scheduled maintenance for your car. When you change the oil on your car, I don't think you really expect your car to be better now that you have changed the oil than it was, say, 3,000 miles earlier when you last changed the oil. Or when you rotate the tires, I don't think you really expect the car to be any better than it was last time you rotated the tires. When you do these maintenance items, maybe it's not a car, maybe it's your house, but when you do these maintenance things on your car, your house, buildings, whatever the case may be, we don't really expect the item that we're working on, that we're maintaining. We don't expect it to improve. In fact, probably the way we think about a car, it is at its peak when it rolls off the lot, right? Or when it comes off the assembly line. That's really where it's at its peak. And even if you do all the scheduled maintenance, it's going to slowly, over time, sort of wear out, become old, and after maybe, if you really maintain your car a couple of decades, you're going to get a new car. Because it's still going, it's at its peak when it rolls off the assembly line. And then it comes down. Any maintenance we do is not going to help the car be any better than it was when it was brand new. When it's brand new, that's when it's the best. Sometimes you hear the Christian life described in that way, I think. Sometimes you'll hear people say when that person goes down into the water and then they come up out of the water, people will come up to them and hug them and congratulate, and they will say, enjoy this moment because you will never be as sinless as you are. You will never be as pure again as you are right now. Sometimes maybe even they will say, at least it might be implied, you will never be so holy or so close to God as you are right now. So sometimes we sort of think sometimes about the Christian life sort of like a car. You know, the car is at the peak when it rolls off the assembly line, and it's sort of downhill from there. And do we sometimes think about the Christian life? It's at the peak at baptism. That is the height of the spirituality that we attain. When we are baptized and we're united with Christ and the blood of Jesus washes away our sins, that is the height of spirituality. And then the Christian life itself is just sort of a process of moving away from that peak time of baptism. I have a problem with that way of thinking about the Christian life as one of maintenance. What we want to do is maintain. You know, when we actually have a newborn baby, we don't think of that in terms of maintenance. You know, when that baby comes and the baby weighs 8 pounds, 7 ounces, we don't want to maintain that. If it comes about in a year that baby is still 8 pounds, 7 ounces, there's a problem. If we have only maintained, and if it comes about 20 years later that this adult now is 8 pounds, 7 ounces, there's a big problem. In fact, there's probably not an adult. You know, in that case, maintenance is the kiss of death. If you maintain, you die. 20 years later, we're still talking about 8 pounds, 7 ounces. That person's not alive. They have died at some point along the way. I would say the Christian life is very similar to that. Maintenance is the kiss of death. What we want is not maintenance. It is growth. We want growth. The question is the church, is the church an organism or is it an institution? We individually, I am an organism, you know, me, Ed Gallagher, and so I need to grow. But is the church, is it an organism or an institution? The church is described as the body of Christ. Maintenance is the kiss of death for an organism. Growth is not a bonus. It's not a plus. It is essential. Growth is essential. You think about the passage that was read for us, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and following. Paul talks about the gifts that God has given certain people in the church, the abilities that he has given certain people in the church in verse 11. And the reason he has done that in verse 12 is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Growth is a necessity to the building up of the body of Christ. Until when? When can we stop growing? Well, here's when. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We are trying to grow into the image of Christ, the fullness of the stature that belongs to Christ. That's what we want to grow into. When we have perfectly mirrored Christ, when we have grown into that, that's when growth is no longer necessary, when we can stop. When we have perfectly become like Jesus Christ, when we have grown into that height, there's work to be done. We're not there yet. It says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We must grow. We are the body of Christ, and the body needs to grow. Now, sometimes maybe you're thinking, well, we are sort of an institution also. We're called the temple of God also, and the temple is sort of an institution. You know, buildings don't normally grow. This building does. Not this building. This building we want to maintain. This building, the building of God, needs to grow. Paul talks about that earlier in Ephesians chapter 2. He says that we, the household of God, in Ephesians chapter 2, this is verse 20, we have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, that's us, the household of God, that's we are that building, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. This building needs to grow. The building that God has established as His household, the temple of the Lord. We're growing into that. Maintenance is the kiss of death. We must grow. And I'm talking about as a church and individually, growth is necessary. Jesus likes to talk about us as if we're plants. One time he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. This is John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He says, John 15, verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he, that is God, the Father, takes it away. Jesus expects us to bear fruit. Jesus expects growth. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus expects much fruit. Every branch that abides in me, he says, bears much fruit. He says on another occasion, the sower went out to sow. And there's this seed. The seed is the word of God, he later says in the explanation. He says, the sower went out to sow, and he scattered his seed over all kinds of different ground. And some of that seed fell on the road. Not much produce there. And some of that seed fell on rocky places, and there's not much produce there. And some of that seed fell among thorns. There's not much produce there either. But some of that seed, Jesus says, fell on some good soil. You know how it's good soil? What's the proof that it's good soil? Jesus says in Matthew 7, you shall know the tree by its what? By its fruit. You know it's a good tree if it produces good fruit. You don't say about a tree, that's a good tree, when it produces all kinds of bad fruit. You know a tree by its fruit. And Jesus says when that seed goes into the good soil and it comes up, the plant comes up and it produces something, that's how you know it's good soil. That's the problem with the road and the rocky place and the thorny soil is that it doesn't produce anything. The problem with the thorns is that they choke it out and it won't produce anything. How you know it's good soil is that the plant comes up and it produces. It produces something. Jesus expects us to yield fruit, to produce fruit. We can think about what sort of fruit we need to produce. We know about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, we are to produce the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is at work in our lives, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. There is mentioned several times in the Bible the fruit of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. And Philippians 1, verse 11, and James 3, 18, all those passages mention the fruit of righteousness. And if we are in Christ, we are vines, branches in the vine of Christ, we are to produce the fruit of righteousness. We can think about the fruit of repentance. John the Baptist said to the Pharisees who were coming out to him in Matthew 3, verse 8, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. What would fruit of repentance look like? That means changed life, right? Prove that you are repenting of your sins by the transformed life that you now don't do all the stuff you used to do. Be a different person. That is fruit of repentance. It comes out in your actions, in your speech, in the way you interact with people. That is the fruit of repentance. We need to bring forth fruit. We don't want to just maintain. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want to bring forth fruit. Probably the best, one of the best ways, I'll say, one of the best ways to grow ourselves is to contribute to the growth of someone else. To contribute to the growth of someone else. You think about what it's like to become a parent. That's when the ultimate experience of contributing to the growth of someone else. In fact, that someone else is not going to make it in this life if you don't contribute to their growth. And I know not everyone has become a parent in here, so let me tell you a little bit about what it's like. When that baby comes, you realize something about how much your life has just changed and how much free time you used to have. And at the time, it didn't feel like free time. You know, you the year before that baby comes, you think, man, I'm busy. I've got all kinds of things to do. I've got to watch this show from 7 to 8, and I've got to go, you know, play Xbox from this person's house from 9 to 10, and then I've got to do this. And, man, my life is full. I don't know how I'm going to fit in any more time. And then that baby comes, and you realize, wow, what kind of free time I used to have. I wasn't doing anything. How lazy I used to be. And you realize when you are contributing to the growth, wow, I used to be selfish. I used to think only about myself. Now, being a parent doesn't make you a perfect person, but it does shine the spotlight on some of your weaknesses. I think those of us who are parents would agree with that. It shines the spotlight on some of your weaknesses and might not always help you correct those weaknesses, but at least you realize that they're there. And man, I used to be selfish and I used to think only about myself and it was all for me. And, you know, if you're going to be any kind of good parent, you've got to be a little less selfish because you are dedicating all of your time, especially those first few weeks, all of your time and energy to this new little life. And after you think you've exhausted yourself and you can't give anymore, the baby cries again. And you get up and feed the thing. I'm not bitter. No. I'm through with those days. You feed the beautiful little creature, and you change the diaper, you burp it, you spend the 2 hours or however long it is. You know, if you get lucky, it's less than that. And you put it to bed, and you go to bed, and it's going to cry again, and you exhaust yourself for this other person, but that helps you grow. There's no growth experience, is there, like contributing to the growth of someone else. We are to grow. And one of the ways we do that is we contribute to the growth of others. This congregation has contributed to the growth of others. We had a big group in Nashville this weekend, and most of them, or all of them, I guess, are back. And we had a lot of success while we were there, a lot of fun. And there were a lot of young people, little kids in some cases, high schoolers in other cases, but all young people all the way in between who participated in all kinds of activities. And there were people on a Bible Bowl team. And what they did was they learned a lot about Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. They grew. And there were a lot of people who gave speeches from this congregation. And what they did was they grew as a result of preparing that speech and practicing it and delivering it. There were people who made art projects. There were people who contributed to scrapbooks. There were people who made mass media presentations. There were people who led singing. There were people involved in all kinds of areas and all kinds of areas. The reason that Lads Leaders does this is to contribute to growth. And none of that would have taken place if it hadn't been for the older people in this room coaching and prodding and parenting and making sure and helping these young people grow in those areas. You have contributed to other people's growth. And, you know, there's an award ceremony, and we get a trophy, and as I was telling one of my preacher friend, Ben Hayes, who preaches at Highland Park, he was there in Nashville, and I was telling him, you know, the reason we do this, the reason we are involved in Lives of Leaders is conquest. You know, the reason we are involved is to make other congregations fear us. All right, I'm just kidding, you know. No, I actually did say that to him, but he knew I was joking. We're not involved in order to get the trophy. We're involved in order to get the growth. We want the growth. We are involved in preparing a new generation of leaders, and that's what we want, lads to leaders. And so we invest ourselves into that, and we cause growth, and we grow ourselves. If you're involved in any sort of ministry, you know, what was it, about a year ago, Chris preached a sermon about all the different sorts of ministries we're involved in here, and I don't guess it's changed much in that year. I can't remember what all they were, but there were 23 or 25 ministries that different individuals were involved in. That's a lot of activity here, and a lot of you are involved in those ministries, and what you're trying to do, I presume, in all of them, is to contribute to growth in someone. And that is a sign. That is fruit of righteousness. That's what that is. The fruit of righteousness. Jesus expects us to produce fruit, and that is a sign of a healthy body of Christ. The fruit of righteousness in contributing to the growth of other people. We are involved in all sorts of mission works throughout the world. I have a list of them here. Let me just read this off just to get a sense. I know you already know this information, but let's remember we're involved in several local things that come out of our mission budget. That's like Melvin Whitlock. And you know the good work he does. We're involved in the Hispanic ministry at Chisholm Hills. Jesus Gallardo is in charge of that. We help contribute to his work there. And that's, as far as I know, it's still the only Hispanic ministry among Churches of Christ in this area. So that's a good work that we are involved in. We're involved, of course, in the prison work in Decatur. And we know the great job that Mike Davidson does in that work and others. And we're thankful to be involved in that. We're involved in Mobile, Alabama, in the inner city church. And a lot of you go there at least once a year and help with that. We're involved in the UNA Student Center. And so these are all sort of local area, this state kind of things that we're involved in. We're involved overseas in Burma. We have a preacher training school in Burma. And you'll find that that's a theme, training preachers. That's what we, in overseas, a lot of times that's what we want to be involved in. We don't necessarily want to locate an American on the soil in some overseas country. Nor do we really even want to pay the Burmese preachers or the Indian preachers or the whoever preachers. Really what we want to do is we want to contribute to the training of preachers in those areas. And that's a lot of cases, that's what we are involved in. We are involved in Burma in a preacher training school in Calais, Burma. We're involved in a preacher training school in Haiti. And Arby just got back from there teaching at that school. We're involved in a preacher training school in, what is it, Vijayawada, India, I think is the name of the town. Am I getting that right? Something along those lines. The Jack Nail Institute is the name of that preacher training school. We're involved, as you know, in the Village of Hope, which is a school and a lot of other things. This is in Ghana. We're involved in that. And we are involved, of course, in World Bible School, sending materials throughout the world and locally as well in training people to become Christians. And we are involved in the Philippines. And so we are involved in all kinds of different ways in the world at large. And this is contributing to our own growth. As we contribute to the growth of others throughout the world and others locally here, this is an essential element of what it means to be a Christian. This is the fruit that Jesus expects us to produce. You know that my family recently got back from the Philippines, and I'm just going to take a few minutes tonight to tell you about some of the things we were able to do on the trip. So this will be a brief little mission report, and Kevin's going to pull up some pictures, and you'll be able to see some of the things that we did. This off Google Maps, you see the little balloon there. That's where we went in the Philippines. That is Bugalan, Pangasinan. Bugalan is the name of the little village town thing that the school is located in, the school where I taught, and I'll tell you about the school in just a minute. It is north of Manila. If you've heard about some trouble as far as danger in the Philippines, ISIS and the like, usually where that is located like more in the south, like Davao. When we go to the Philippines, I've never met a Muslim in the Philippines. That doesn't mean that there aren't any where we are located, but who we meet all the time is Catholics. And then we meet also, any other brand of Christianity. All right. I've never met a Muslim. The Muslims are mostly located in the south, in Mindanao and that southern set of islands, pretty far away from where we are. That doesn't mean there is no danger whatsoever. It just means I've never felt any. All right, I'm careful. I always stay with a Filipino. I make sure my family stays with a Filipino to guide us around. But it doesn't seem as dangerous as maybe news reports make it sound. All right, we went to a school that's called now Asian Christian University. All right, we've known it for a long time as the Philippine Theological College. This is a preacher training school. That is why it was founded in 2006 by Dimar Elam to train preachers. It still has that function. It is now called Asian Christian University. We have expanded in terms of our scope. We no longer just want to focus on the Philippines. We want people from other areas of Asia to send us their students, and we will train them as well. So Asian, not no longer Philippine, but Asian Christian University. And it's now called a university instead of a college. We've added new programs. We've added new faculty. We've expanded a little bit, and so now it's a university rather than a college. It's actually not just a preacher training school in that sense. If we think about a two-year preacher training school that we might have in America, it only trains preachers, but it's more of a university now where you can actually get a bachelor's degree, you can actually get a master's degree from. In fact, it's the only school in Churches of Christ in the Philippines that offers a master's degree in biblical studies or in anything for schools affiliated with Churches of Christ. Here is the people that went on the journey. My family went. You know, Bill Bajance went. And then two other Americans. Dimar Elam went. You know him. And then Mike Pepper. Mike is the fella in the green. He is a computer instructor, and he went over there to teach a class on computers. And he contributed a lot to the trip. Here's what we did while we were there. We did a lot of things. As soon as we hit the ground in Manila, we spent the night, and then we drove to Bugalan, where the school is. It takes about 5 hours to get there from Manila. It takes forever and a day to get to Manila, and then it takes five more hours beyond forever and a day to get to Bugalan. And then we actually stayed on campus for church services on that Sunday. And then the next day, we started a lectureship. We had the second Filipino-American lectureship. This is something they like to have every year. As the Americans come in, they will join Filipino speakers and American speakers. And so I was one of the speakers on it this year. I was also one of the speakers on it last year. So it's just a lectureship. This year it addressed, you can see the behind Mike, you can see Purity in Doctrine was the theme of the lectureship. And so I had a topic, the importance of pure doctrine. And I spoke on Monday. So the lectureship lasted 3 days, and people came to that from really all over the Philippines, even from Mindanao, from the Visayas, and came to that. And so that lasted 3 days. After that, we had I taught a class at the school. I taught two classes, in fact, at the school, a graduate class and an undergraduate class. And that lasted about a week or so. During that time, Jody did a VBS for the orphans. And if you go to the next, back up. Let me just point out. I often point this fella out, but you see Mike Pepper in the green and then Dimar in the tie right next to him. The other fella on stage, that is Junus Sagurit, And you've heard me say his name before. I just want to point him out again. He is the president of Asian Christian University. And so they do have a Filipino president. They have a Filipino staff. Dimar is the chancellor. The president is a Filipino. He's an attorney, in fact, and he's a preacher. And he does a lot of different things. He's also the director of the children's home. So he has a lot of hats that he wears. An excellent man. Really proud to know him and to be able to talk to him and make plans with him. So Junis Agurit. Okay, now you can go to the next slide. Here is one of the orphans' houses. You see sort of Miriam in the picture with some orphans. This is where the girls live. These were recently constructed over the past 12 months at any rate. And there's the girls' house, and right next to it is the boys' house. Each house can fit 12 orphans. There's the boys' house right there. See, we're talking about maintenance earlier. They maintain it pretty well. You see the beautiful flowers out front and everything. And so there are house parents in the boys. There are a different set of house parents in the girls. 12 boys. There are 10 girls right now. They have room for two others. Go to the next slide. Jody did, and my kids did a VBS for the orphans throughout the week that we were there doing that work. And so each morning they went and did their VBS. And at the end of that, they wanted to have a graduation from VBS. They love having graduations in the Philippines and getting certificates. And so we had it. And so that's one of the younger orphans there. All of the orphans are about 10 and under. This is one of the younger ones, and she went up and got her certificate, her graduation certificate from VBS, and then she shook Jody's hand, and she shook Miriam's hand, and Beverly is the Filipino in the picture. She shook Beverly's hand, and she wanted to shake everybody was shaking hands. They loved doing that. And so they had a graduation that day, and go to the next slide, and you'll see that is the day that we handed out supplies. You remember that in the, what was it? Several weeks before we left, we requested that you help us collect supplies, books and clothing and soap and toothbrushes and toothpaste and all kinds of stuff. Well, when we got there, they decided it would be best if we gave it to the kids at the end of the VBS and then sort of as a thanks for coming and participating and congratulations and here's a little gift for you. And so that's what they did as part of the graduation of the VBS. They handed out these supplies. Each child got a gift bag and was able to take home several of those items. Go to the next slide and you'll see all of the orphans standing there with their certificates and their bags full of supplies that they got. And they were really happy with that, with the Dr. Seuss books that they got. And they were taking, as soon as they got it, they were taking them out of the bag looking wanting to read each other's books or at least look at the pictures. English is not their strong suit, but I'm sure they'll learn English as they move on in school. So there was a little bit of a difficulty with that with the VBS, but Jody had a translator there that helped them with that. All right, go to the next slide. Then on Sunday, the middle Sunday that we were there, I went out and we preached. And Jerry was the ACU student who said, "You will go with me tomorrow, sir." Okay, I'll go with you. What time do we need to leave? And he said, 6 a.m. We need to leave. Okay, all right. So we had been having breakfast at 6, so breakfast has now moved to 5:30. We're ready. We go at 6. I'm going to preach at whatever church, Sewall Church of Christ. He's going to take me there. And then he says to me at 6 a.m., he says, "There are 3 church services today, sir." Like, oh, 3. Yeah, it would have been nice if you'd told me that yesterday, but okay, 3. And he actually said, "We'll only go to 2 of them because the 3rd one, it's too dangerous for you. We won't go there." I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for that. And so we only went to 2 of them. One was at this fellow's house, and there were about, just a few people there, 6 or 7 people. But it was because this guy was paralyzed. He couldn't move, so we went to his house and did a worship service. Well, we got there, and you've got to be prepared for just whatever they spring on you in the Philippines. They don't necessarily like to tell you in advance about anything. So we got there, and we were sitting down and small talking, and the service was starting, and then somebody, Jerry or somebody, said to Jody, well, the kids are in there. Okay, that's good to know. So do you have a Bible class prepared? Well, no, but I'll go do something with them. And so Jody went in there, and she sang songs and tried to do a little VBS stuff with them at the time. And thought, well, that was nice. And so we did a whole worship service. It was actually sort of extra long. Then we went to the second one and go to the next. We went to the second one, and again, we all sat down. And okay, so this time Jody will be in the worship service with us, of course, because we're at the second one. This is the real congregation where we're actually in a church building this time. And again, as the worship service started, the kids are in there, ma'am. You know, you're going to go do your Bible class again. Okay. So they went and did another Bible class, and Jody got a picture of them. And you see our kids there and Jody there and the kids in the Bible class. And so, you know, it's sprung on you sort of at the last minute. That's the rule that DMAR always says, flexibility and adaptability. And I probably repeated that to my family, you know, before the trip 20 or 25 times, and then during the trip just constantly every day, because it was constantly proved that you had to be flexible and adaptable and do what comes. Go to the next slide. On the Friday before we left, there was a graduation for the Asian Christian University. There were 6 graduates for the bachelor's degree. There were 12 graduates for the associate's degree. And they like to involve us. So you see, I'm on the right here, and DeMar is there, and then Bill next to him, and then left of Bill is, again, Juna Sagurit, the president. And then this fellow holding up his diploma, that's Jerry. And he was the one with us on the previous Sunday. And so he graduated with his bachelor's degree. And so it was a good graduation. 18 men graduated that day. And most of them will continue on and get more education as well. Go to the next slide. Let me tell you about this fella. I'm standing there with Nippy Siega. Nippy is the student that we support as a congregation. I don't know if you've realized that. It's been on the budget that we support a PTC student, or now an ACU student. This is who it is. Nippy Siega. We've supported him for about 2 years now. He's been going to school for 2 years. He graduated with his associates. He will continue in school at ACU and get his bachelor's degree, and maybe continue on and get a master's degree after that. Nippy's parents were killed in a mudslide when he was a kid, so he was an orphan for a while. He was converted to Christ in April of 2013. A month later, he was at school at Asian Christian University. He wanted to become a preacher. As soon as he became a Christian, he wanted to become a preacher. And so that's what he's been doing with his life. He's been growing. He's trying to produce fruit. And we are contributing to that growth. And so Nippy was able to graduate. I was glad to be able to get a picture with him. Go to the next slide. The last day, last main day, was Saturday, and there was a ladies' day. And Jody spoke. She was one of the speakers. There were 3 Filipino speakers, I think, and then Jody was the lone American speaker that day. And so that was a good day, a good thing for her to be involved in. They also had, like, lessons on how to cook certain Filipino items, food items. So an interesting day as well. So that was most of the trip. And then other than that, it was Sunday. We had another worship service and headed to Manila and made the long journey home. Thank you for contributing to our trip. Oh, here's the kids. Those are the orphans and my kids, you see, sort of saying goodbye to us just as we were leaving. Let me tell you, my kids made connections with those kids that were there in a way more personal and intimate way than I've ever been able to do when I take trips. They made friends, and really real friendships they had, and they were sad to go, and the kids there were sad for us to go because of those bonds that they had created. So that was nice to see, to say the least. So my kids definitely contributed to the trip in positive ways. I thank you for contributing to our trip, for allowing us to go to represent you in the Philippines. Thank you for contributing all those items that we were able to hand out. You also contributed money for the orphans, and we were able to give $1,337 to the orphanage while we were there. And what they're going, the primary thing they're going to do with that money is buy a table and chairs for the orphans. They are in the process of renovating the library for the school. And as part of that new library they will have, there will be a section for the kids. And they want a nice table and chairs where they can read their kids' books and things like that. Well, they haven't completely finished renovating that library, so they haven't bought the table and chairs yet. When the library is renovated, they will buy the table and chairs when they have the location to put them. That's the primary thing that will be done with that money, but there is more than enough money. You contributed more than enough money for that need, and so they will be able to do other things with it as well. Thank you for contributing to that. You contributed to our growth. You contributed to their growth. That is the fruit of righteousness. Jesus doesn't suggest that we grow, but maintenance is okay. That's not what Jesus says. Growth is essential. Maintenance is not an option. Maintenance is a kiss of death. We must grow in our Christian lives. We must produce fruit. Fruit of righteousness, fruit of repentance, fruit of Spirit. We must produce fruit. We must grow. Tonight you have the opportunity to give your life to God, to commit your life to service in Christ's kingdom, to have your sins washed away through the waters of baptism, and to walk in newness of life. You have the opportunity as well to repent of sin in your life, if you are already a Christian, and to ask for the prayers of this congregation to help you grow, stop maintaining, and start growing in Christ. If you want to take advantage of that opportunity, come forward now.